We're also joined by Rodan Public Radio political analyst Scott McKay. Hello, Scott.
Good morning, everyone.
Representative Phillippe, we spoke earlier in our political roundtable about the budget a little bit. I'd like to go into a little more detail about Speaker Mattiello's priority of eliminating the car tax over 6 years. No one likes the car tax, but eliminating it in total would cost the state $220 million a year. That's a lot of money in a state plagued by persistent deficits. Do you think that's fiscally prudent to try to completely eliminate the car tax?
I do. I think it's more fiscally prudent to give money back to average Rhode Islanders than to out-of-state corporations to move jobs here. I think it's a smart move. It's hated. It's unfair. And over a six-year period, I think it's reasonable to cut $220 million. We can find that.
One other question about Speaker Mattiello before we go to Scott. He barely made it back into office after a tough challenge from Cranston Republican Stephen Frias last year. So do you think the politics of his somewhat conservative district in Cranston are the greatest influence on Mattiello as he considers the Paw Sox proposal? Or if not that, what is the greatest influence on him on that issue?
I mean, I'm not inside Speaker Mattiello's head. I believe that he is a student of good policy. And I think he's looking at the car tax elimination as good policy and the baseball stadium as maybe not so much. Of course, elections affect the way what we do up here. I mean, we're representatives of our district, and I'm sure it has some effect on him. I don't think it would make him promote policies that he doesn't believe in, though.
Let's go to Scott.
You know, Massachusetts is going to have legal marijuana. Vermont just voted to do that. Should Rhode Island be in the business of regulating marijuana, selling it, and taxing it as we do alcohol?
I don't think that it should be illegal to have marijuana. The problem is, how do you get there? I think that there are many proposals that come forward, you know, centralized distribution in a few people or a few organizations. And on the other hand, some people say just completely legalize it so it's like a tomato and everyone can do whatever the heck they want with it. I think there's a middle ground that doesn't allow just a few people to control the market and doesn't allow the wild, wild west with marijuana. I think the liquor distribution model is a good model for us to look to. A lot of distributors.
You're a lawyer and a student of the law and a student of government. What is your reaction to Superior Court Presiding Justice Alice Gibney's decision not to release the grand jury records related to 38 Studios?
Well, I haven't read the decision yet, but I would venture to say that grand jury proceedings are seen as sacrosanct. They need to be private, and I understand the reason for that. On the flip side, this is a critical public issue that the public needs to have all the documents for, and that's why I would urge the Senate to pass Representative Lima's bill, which we in the House passed over a month ago, which requires the state police and the attorney general to release all of those records, even if copies of those records were handed over to the grand jury, because we can force the state police and the attorney general to release their records. We can't force, I don't think, the grand jury to release its records.
Just wondering, on education, if you had the money, do you think the governor's idea for free tuition for 2 years for Rhode Islanders at RIC and URI and, of course, CCRI would be free, a good idea or not a good idea?
Well, it always comes down to money. I mean, if we had money pouring out all over the place, there's a lot of things I would like to do.
Would that be your first thing?
No, I don't think it would be. I think you need to have people have some skin in the game. I look at the governor's plan, and there's two major problems I see with it. One is a 2.0 GPA requirement, and then also no clawback provision like they have in New York. In New York, if you use their taxpayer-funded college plan and you leave the state, that gets rolled into a long-term loan. I think that needs to happen in Rhode Island if this is to pass, so we're not subsidizing the workforces of our competing states.
We're talking here with State Representative Blake Phillippe, the second-ranking Republican in the Rhode Island House of Representatives. You were formerly an independent. You became a Republican while becoming part of the Republican leadership in the Rhode Island House. Who do you think the best GOP candidate for governor is next year?
Well, I don't know who has their irons in the fire.
Look, Cranston Mayor Alan Fung, who narrowly lost to Governor Raimondo in 2014, is widely expected to seek re-election. Do you expect to back him, or are you looking for someone else?
No one has asked me for my endorsement yet. Alan is a smart, capable man. My understanding is there's several other people who may be looking at it, and I'm just going to have to wait for someone to approach me and ask me for my endorsement.
You know, the business community seems to be lining up against increasing the minimum wage, but I look at our neighboring states, Connecticut and Massachusetts. They both have much higher minimum wages than Rhode Island. And in fact, in Massachusetts, the economy is a lot better, despite having a much higher minimum wage than Rhode Island. So is the business community have a good argument or not really?
My argument is this. I hate having this debate every 2 years. Let's pin it to inflation and be done with it and stop every 2 years like a monkey throwing darts at a dartboard, picking out a number. There's been no economic analysis what the real inflation rate is in this state when they're deciding on the numbers. There's been no real economic analysis on what the actual inflation rate is in this state. There's different ways. Some exclude groceries and gasoline. Another one doesn't exclude groceries and gasoline. I think it's inflation versus real inflation. There's been no analysis. We're just looking at our neighbors, picking a number and saying, you know, that sounds good. What we need to do is say, take the federal government's actual rate of inflation, tie our minimum wage to it, and just be done with it and stop doing this every year and let our businesses actually plan based on that rate of inflation, not the whims of the General Assembly every 2 years.
You're the deputy to the GOP leader in the House, Patricia Morgan of West Warwick. Can you point to any significant differences or impacts that she's had since taking over that role from her predecessor, Brian Newberry?
Brian was an extremely capable man, and Patricia's an extremely capable woman. I think Patricia's done a great job of having our caucus really like work together to promote policies. We have retreats a lot. Everyone's really on the same page. Unfortunately, there's been no real controversial issues that have come up, like the tolls last year or the Paw Sox Stadium 2 years ago. This one isn't as controversial as that. Good for the governor. But I think Patricia's just been a great leader, and I expect her to continue to do so.
And how will the 11-member Republican caucus use its bully pulpit or its opportunity to speak out to maximum effect in the waning weeks of this General Assembly session?
Well, I think we're going to do what we always do, and that's showing how Republicans are different, showing that we stand up for the little guy, that we stand up for economic growth in this state that's organic from the ground up, not market-driven, top-down from government. And I think that we're just going to continue to work on the floor to show people how we're different. And also reiterating the message that you cannot have a system where 85% of the seats are controlled by one party and expect it to work properly.
Well, that's a great idea, and I agree with you. However, what I want to know is how do you expand your tiny little caucus into something that makes it so that there's not 85%, it's not a one-party system? How do you elect more Republicans? We've talked about this for years, and yet the party doesn't seem to be any closer than it was 15, 20 years ago.
Obviously, developing a strong message, recruiting candidates, funding candidates. I think the fact that so many people are on social media now, I think it's changed the paradigm a little bit. My great aunt is on social media. Most of the older people I know in this state are on social media. So I'm excited, and I think in 2018, it's a great opportunity for Republicans in this state. If you look in presidential election years, our caucus usually gets halved. We had three retirements, and we only lost one person. And if you look at the total number of people who voted General Assembly for General Assembly seats who voted Republican, I think it was somewhere around 47%. And in prior years, it was in the high 30s.
Is Chairman Bell the guy to helm this fight, to lead this?
I think he is. I think Chairman Bell does a heck of a job. He has a strong voice. And yeah, I do have a lot of faith in Chairman.
We're out of time, so we have to leave it there. Thanks for joining us, Scott.
Great to be here.
And House Republican Whip Blake Filippi.
Thank you.